Alright guys, welcome to another episode of Talk Sex with Podrick Payne here on the Luxwing channel. I'm your host, Stephen Toyofuku, here with...
Jerry Curran. That was our second time going through that. You could tell. It was so much better.
Yeah.
And when we weren't off mute.
I mean, the hand motions were also more on point.
Yeah, it's so much better.
Which if only you guys definitely knew how be able
good
to see.
The hand motions were. Anyway.
You can hear it by listening to the vibrations of the air.
Whoa.
I don't know.
The kind
of airbender shit.
For sure.
Anyway, speaking of not airbenders, Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Episode 3, Season 7, The Queen's Justice. They're actually, this is the first time I felt like I've hit an episode 3 and been like continually just still very excited for the season. Because I feel like season 3 is when like, I feel like the writers are like, I mean not season 3,
episode 3
is when it's like, oh like we're probably going to wrap a little of the earlier plots up and then just take time with these long, long like dialogue scenes between characters.
And then they slip in a couple like back alley stabbings to like keep you interested.
Yeah,
it's
or
like
you
it's
know,
like talkie, Barristan died. Talkie. That's like a classic.
Yeah, or like talkie. Guy's head gets smashed in because he was like talking about flashing Cersei.
Oh yeah,
talkie.
That guy. And I'm blessed down south.
You know, and she started licking her lips.
You know, I wouldn't lie about this. That fucking dude.
That guy's moment. I still wonder how they did that casting call. Was that guy just an extra?
I think it was the extra. He was the extra who did such a good job wiggling his balls in Cersei's face. they just brought him back. They're like, we're giving you lines, dude. So, I mean, starting off the episode, you go straight into... Also, this was the best, because right out of the fucking gates, everyone's like, oh, yeah, it's, like, what we wanted, which was, of course, like, Dany and Jon brooding at each other. And it happened pretty much exactly the way we thought it would happen. Like,
just laying our cards out. Just
yeah,
like,
it's like...
Hey, I've been through this shit, yo, but, like, I've kind of also been through this shit.
Yeah, and Jon being so reluctant with the I died already card.
Well, I mean, like
the greatest card that ever there was.
I mean, that's to me, like, where sometimes I feel like the subtlety, because we've just known the characters so long, like, the writers just maybe not care less. Just, like, it's less important to them, where it's just, like... They did a really, really, like, strong-handed job this scene of just how contrary, like, Jon and Dany are as rulers. Like, Dany is very, like... I mean, I guess because she was born into it, supposedly.
Yeah.
She's very, like, confident and, like...
And she wants it, dude.
Yeah, whereas Jon is just like, nah, I'm, like, the king.
Yeah, Jon has the ultimate, like, depressed Jon line, like, when he's, when they're talking and when they make that line about, like... Oh, like, Tyrion talks a lot. He's like, he's good at it. People like to do what they're good at. And he's like, not all people, or whatever.
Like,
what does he say?
I don't like what I'm good at.
Yeah, it's like, he's like, no, it's like, we need to know exactly what that line is. Because it's just like, he's just like,
it's
I don't enjoy what I'm good at.
Well, I mean, it's like, that's the total, like, Jon Snow at the Seth Meyers dinner party. It's like, oh, like, my sister just had kids. It's like, my sister's dead.
Yeah, dude.
I'm a bastard. Yeah. You don't have to call yourself that, bro.
But he says it so much.
What wins though for in these scenes between these two characters we love though, I still think are just like the supporting cast around them.
Oh, Davos, dude. Yeah.
Davos and the MVP. Varys. Like Varys had great scenes and what little he did.
Also, you gotta believe that this whole exchange would have went so differently if Jon just let Davos do his fucking thing and didn't shut him up, dude. Just let him go. He was like, you could see him too. You could just see it in his eyes. Davos was on a roll. Like he gives such a good fucking speech once he gets, but he just like needs a head of steam. And he was getting there, dude. He was fucking Adrian Peterson like in the secondary.
Yeah.
Jon just fucking like, some arm tackle bullshit.
It was just like, hey, like, dude, like, maybe not.
It's like, dude, whatever.
I died. Like,
talk about it, man.
About
you gotta
it.
Be able to talk about how you're like, you gotta be able to talk about how you're like literally a Christ figure. Otherwise, nobody's gonna follow you.
Well, see, this is why, like, this is why, you know, at times the later episodes of this series have gotten a little frustrating because I feel like. Now, like, it seems like they very, very purposefully are, like, dancing around this information and have to keep teasing it out. Like, how later in the episode, Dany was like, what did he mean when he said dabbed in the heart? It's like, oh, North is such a dreary place.
Yeah.
We have to allow them their flights of fancy.
Yeah. Also, like, at this point, I don't know, dude. They gotta really, like... Seriously, Danny's just gotta fucking take a goddamn day trip north of the wall. She's gotta do that.
She's got dragons. I feel like it's doable.
It's not like, it's just like, you've seen how fast Euron's moving in that fucking boat. I bet you're faster than that dude. And he just got to like the opposite side of a continent in like 5 minutes. So.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, time is much faster now.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, Game of Thrones is unstuck in time.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably something to do with Bran, i.e. Jaden Smith. But anyway, so obviously some, like, I mean, we all knew that this was going to be how they greeted each other at first when Danny dropped the, like, bend the knee line in the last episode.
Are we using Chekhov correctly in any of these instances?
Dude, it doesn't matter. It just has to be vaguely related.
Okay.
You know, if she mentioned something earlier, you're going to see it later. That's the whole thing. It's like, if you see a gun earlier, they're going to use the fucking gun. If I see somebody make a... they have to bend the knee reference in Game of Thrones, I know that it's going to end with some Mance Rayder situation where he's like, North, Kent.
It's like, we do not kneel.
Yeah, dude, people, like, grumpy people in Westeros are, like, will never kneel. They're anti-kneel. They're so fucking anti-kneel.
I mean, see, I do that shit all the time. It's just...
it's like trying to convince, like, a fucking Southern Republican to be pro-choice.
That's a very heavy-handed... I like to think about it like approaching a hippogriff. You show them you mean no threat.
Yeah. Oh, yes, of course. Yes, many. Yeah, for sure.
But,
yeah, so this was poorly handled. Danny says all the wrong things, and then John says all the wrong things. But then Danny's also, like, Danny's in peak, like just being annoying mode. But then she kind of does, like, the hard sell at first. And then she, like, brings it back a little bit, and she, like, does her, like, inspirational thing.
Yeah.
But she, like, leads off the first, like, 5 minutes just being like, hello, other person, this person is fucking annoying.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh, God, like, shut up, girl.
So that's to me where, like, again, this is the first time these characters have met, and I don't think I've ever heard, have they even ever talked about each other in a scene before?
No.
Other than, you know,
nah.
So I'm like, I think that part of that is just us, like, being super comfortable with them.
Yeah.
And because we are, they, you know, they obviously, like, have to just posture. Yeah, posture.
Yeah. Which is also, it's one of those things, too, where...
like, why didn't John bring up the dragon glass in that meeting?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Well, I guess they...
because ostensibly that's the reason he's there.
I guess that did get interrupted by Varys.
Yeah, I mean, originally he was just going to go down there for the dragon glass. It was Davos in his infinite wisdom who reminded him that dragons breathe fire. Because apparently that wasn't part of the fucking plan. That's got to be, like, so obviously it's the solutions. Come on.
Quick moment here. Can we talk about how Colin Firth? What is that actor's? Whatever.
No, it's Broadbent. Are you talking about Maester?
No, Lord Varys. Who's that? Connolith Hill.
Hill. It's definitely not Colin Firth.
Sorry.
That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
It'd be funnier if it was Colin Farrell.
So, we have noticed everyone is defs in, like, heavier clothes now because it's, like, winter, you know, blah, blah. Like, everyone is literally, like, in significantly, like, heavier clothes, especially all the people we've just seen in Essos.
Not something I paid attention to, other than, I suppose, Sansa's, hey, I'm so good at ruling, put fucking leather on that breastplate, whatever. It's like, they don't fucking know that it's cold in the north.
Well, I mean, even in King's Landing, like, all of Cersei's servants, could be because, like,
no, for sure.
Like, little warm, and then, like, the big one is, like, Varys' robes are less swishy now, because like, more, like, it looks more like kind of Russian tunic-y, like, texture.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, jerkiny.
Anastasia. He looks like Rasputin now.
Yeah. And so, like, when he was walking into the throne room in that scene to, like, be like, my lady, you must dismiss your guest, blah, blah, blah. This is the worst whispering ever, master of whispers, blah, blah, blah. Like, his skipping just looked hilarious. Like, it looked like because, you know, normally it's just under the robes and it's just, like, the shuffle swishing. This straight up looked like every two steps, he was, like, trying to take a skip.
Nice.
Listeners, I'm not crazy. I might be crazy, but check it out.
That's incredibly detailed watching of the...
I mean, so I got home at, like, 2 in the morning after work. We, like, watched Rick and Morty at work after we, like, closed down at, like, 1 in the morning.
That sounds pretty chill.
And then I came home and just watched Game of Thrones and then watched it again, like, right as soon as it ended.
I always do that. I totally do that. I watch it, and it's like, and like, last time I watched it, like, the real time, and it's like, yeah, it's kind of late. I go to bed, and I'm like, oh, let's put something on while I go to sleep. Oh, it's on the same episode.
It was nice to finally be able to watch it, like, when it was dark. Because, well, for the first time. Because, like, normally, like, I'm not going to wait till it gets dark in the Pacific Northwest during the summer to watch Game of Thrones normally, but I had work, so.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mind, dude. Wait until 9's kind of tight.
Get pumped. Yeah, but so I don't know. I think part of it is, like, it's on Sunday, and I realize now we're, like, older, and some people, like yourself, need to actually go to bed earlier than, like, fucking 10.
Yeah, well, no, I don't really have to go to bed earlier. I do like it though when it happens. What the fuck are we talking about, dude? Let's move on.
Sorry. No, dude, like, this is a Game of Thrones podcast, and that, you know, Game of Thrones viewing habits is
where Yeah, that's true. It's we cover off on it.
Hey, Sundays are back.
Yeah, exactly, for sure.
But should we talk briefly, Melisandre Vary? Is there, like, cool, she's probably gonna come back in the final season yeah, in also, some way where she just
Varys,
dies.
Varys getting way too upset that Melisandre implied that he's mortal, you know? She was like, I'm gonna die in this strange country, as we are both you. Are. Yeah, and then he, like, looks all freaked out. It's like, well, I mean, like, were you planning on moving?
No.
So, like, what the fuck is... Don't sweat it. Of course you're gonna die there.
They're trying to, like, regurgitate all these moments from past, like, seasons and just, like, dismiss them quickly. Like,
yeah, like, because, like, this happened before.
Yeah, like, when... isn't there... is it with Melisandre or is it with the woman from... Kia blah 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 from, like, Volantis, who's just, like, talking about what, like, the voice said when, like, it that dude threw his penis in the fire after he cut it off.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he has reason to be skeptical.
Because, like, honestly, I still make this point, and especially this makes more sense even in a show perspective than a book perspective. If Melisandre was not, like, helping Stannis, Varys probably would have chose Stannis in this situation. He would have 100% been on Ned's side to, like, oh no, like, fuck Renly. Like, Stannis is the right person to rule here. I think that.
Yeah, just, I mean,
because Renly wouldn't have been a good king.
That, I don't know, he seemed like he would have been fine. I don't know, what is it? Like,
I feel like Renly...
I feel like Bobby B wasn't even that bad of a king, and he literally just... didn't do anything.
No, that's true. No, he's, it's more
better,
like,
than he's better than those the subsequent efforts have been really poor.
For the purposes of, like, the fact that, like, the, you know, the kingdom was about to get divided, like, Stannis was the one to carry, in my mind, the like, kingdom through that, if he wasn't, like, a crazy fucking fanatic and his brother wasn't a little shithead.
Yeah. The crazy thing about Stannis is...
I just like Stannis, and he just gets such fucked over, dude.
Yeah, Stannis had a... Stannis, like, the younger brother. Stannis' entire plot arc is just, like, the younger brother. Like,
classic middle child.
Yeah, not even, like, the... Yeah, I guess he is the middle child. Yeah, Renly is the, like, the cute, like, gay young one. Yeah.
Who got given Storm's End instead of Dragonstone, yeah. Which they do a good job of making look epic, but also, like, I don't want to live there.
Yeah, I mean, I probably wouldn't want to live there either, except that, I don't know, it looks a lot nicer now that Dany's there. It looked pretty grim when, I think everything around Stannis was just so fucking grim, but...
Well, yeah, his wife kept, like, miscarrying children in jars.
Dude, so...
Sleep.
Oh my god.
Dude. Florent, right? She's a Florent?
Yeah, they have big ears. That's like a thing the books own. That's like every time they're brought up in the, like, the George does this thing in the books where, like, he'll bring up, like, anytime he brings up, like, a middle to, like, minor sort of major house, he, like, he just has, like, three things that are mentioned anytime one of them comes up. Like, so it's like
their crest.
Yeah, or it's like, oh, the Frey, it's like he didn't have it, and then they'll describe him and he'll be, like, chinless. And then, like, every time you hear about a Florent, it's like, oh, like, he looked exactly like Robert Baratheon, because he was, like, his bastard with, like, a Florent. Oh, but big fucking ears though. Yeah. So they just, like, it's like George just fucking harps on, like, the family's ears just mercilessly.
George do some eugenic studies.
No, he comes up with, like, four traits for each of these, like, minor races, and then he just fucking just beats you over the head with them. And it's, like, actually sort of effective world building, because now I fucking remember that, like, the Florents have big pointy dumb ears. Yeah, it's like, fucking why?
Such a crest is the fox.
Yeah, dude.
What are their plugins? Their plugins. We've heard that twice in the season. I think the dude they were burning at the start of season three.
Yeah,
was Axel Florent.
Yeah.
And then
he's the old hand to Stannis.
When Davos is learning to read, it's like, oh, your cousin so-and-so Florent is getting married.
Oh.
Well, Stannis doesn't have time for that sort of nonsense. But, okay.
So, torture. How about that?
Can we start at least with this hilarious Euron, just like...
Oh, yeah, we can definitely talk about the Euron, like... Euron as, like, Freddie Mercury as Euron.
Yeah.
Like, just strutting through King's Landing.
Like, I love like this.
Yeah, he's so tight, but also not at all.
I mean, he's, like, dragging three women behind him on, like, chains. And one of them is, like, actually on a leash and collar.
His fucking niece. Not a good guy.
Well, I guess he could have murdered her. I hope.
Yeah. Also, dude, holy shit, the King's Landing, not really worth fighting for, man. Those common people are, they're a fickle fucking bunch, dude.
The background, like, shouting lines, they're so aggressive. I mean, wanker!
Yeah, it's crazy.
Slut!
It's like, they literally, dude, if you parade something that's supposed to be good or supposed to be bad, those people fucking get into character so quick. They're like, oh, we're shaming somebody today, and they're like, all right, sick, let's do this.
Sick, it'll distract us from how bad it smells.
Yeah,
here.
Exactly.
No, like, whereas, like...
treated as, like, they're just like, oh, yeah, dude, fucking let's go to, like, it's like they're, like, Sasquatch, you know?
Whereas, like, when we saw Casterly Rock, we'll get to that actual battle just for contrast, like, Casterly Rock looks way nicer than fucking King's Landing.
Oh, it's so much more
like,
chill there.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's, like, a cool castle that's, like, overlooking a sweet-looking
sea
beach.
Cliff. And like
slash cliff,
and it's like impregnable, I guess, unless you have 10 good men.
Yeah, unless you have Tyrion's secret passageway,
prostitute tunnel.
Yeah, Tyrion's secret prostitute tunnel, which didn't matter because turns out they just like quit Casterly Rock.
Turns out Jaime learned from his mistakes, which it said in the isn't that what it said in the episode description? It was Danny and blah blah blah.
Oh,
essentially,
yeah.
The meeting of Fire and Ice, then like Cersei like returns a gift.
Yeah, Jaime said that he took that one out of the Robb Stark playbook.
Yeah, which is literally what he did.
Yeah, which is.
But anyway, more about Euron here. So I think it's pretty easy to say, Euron is definitely probably the series' best villain since Joffrey has departed.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something.
I mean, they're very
that.
Different.
Well,
villains.
Because but they also they are kind of similar though. They're both like the cartoonish ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Cersei's like the complicated one who you've been hanging out with for a long time.
Yeah.
And then like Euron's just like a
Euron's like
a
an
cartoon
anime
murder
character.
Pirate.
He's
like, rah, 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 rah.
Yeah, like there is an anime character that is Euron Greyjoy somewhere that.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure you've seen it too.
Well, yeah, on One Piece
for sure. The pirate anime that Steven watches a lot, which some of you probably know of, but fuck it.
But so okay. I guess here's the thing. What do you think Euron's gonna do with Yara here? Because I actually, for a second, thought he was gonna give her to Cersei, but
yeah, he just doesn't.
Like, do you think they're
or maybe
just gonna,
he does. Maybe she's just in prison.
You think they're just gonna extend that though to like more like?
I mean, it seems like I mean, maybe they're gonna have Theon like stage a rescue
and fail because that's classic Theon.
Oh yeah, if Theon stages a rescue in the next episode and fails, I'd be ecstatic. That would be so hilarious.
It's like the opening scene is just that.
Yeah, the cold open is Theon ends up getting captured. And he just gets thrown into a cell. They don't even show him. He's like, this one was trying to break in. He's like, oh, I'm sorry.
and then we don't see them at all again until next season.
Yeah.
Same, I feel like we're not going to see Ilaria. We are going to see Ilaria Sand again, but next season.
I mean...
And it's going to be, like, Easter egg-y versus,
I bet
like,
they're going to, yeah, I bet they're going to keep, they're going to use Theon and Yara as, like, a... That's going to be, like, a life support storyline that's, like... They get, like, maybe, like, 5 minutes an episode.
Yeah.
Or like, 10 minutes every two episodes.
So, basically, like, Margaery and Loras, when they were just imprisoned in the fucking Sept of Baelor.
Yeah, they just, like, switch. It's like, we don't need this.
Brother-sister connection.
Yeah, or, or like kind of Sam and Jorah, like, except that was the version where instead they're like, okay, we're gonna have like 2 15-minute scenes, but then you guys are going to part ways.
Very quickly.
Yeah, we're gonna,
and efficiently.
Yeah, we're gonna send Jorah back to the only place where anybody gives a shit about him, which is next to Dany.
Which is actually pretty a good point. Okay, we're just gonna hop around right now. We'll talk about Euron later again too, because there are too many hilarious Euron lines that we haven't at least attempted to quote here.
Yeah.
But on that note, I think that's where this Jon and Dany plot might be going. Maybe not next episode, because that's classic Game of Thrones. Maybe in 2 episodes, Jorah's going to show up and finally be like, oh, like, I think there's going to be this awkward scene. It's like, why the fuck do you have my family's sword? Where's the bear pommel? Because Longclaw.
Yeah.
And then also,
oh, yeah. You know what? That might be a good, that could be, like, a good opportunity for John to get somebody maybe to vouch for him a little bit.
He's like, oh, because like,
maybe John
Gior, could be like... because of Gior.
Yeah, although has Jorah completely... That's although maybe Jorah will actually hate John for that. Except I think he's past that, you know what I mean?
Although, I realize... Jorah's
been through too much shit to hate John because his dad chose him as a son.
No, yeah, and,
although that's gotta hurt.
I think I realize, like... I've realized, like, maybe that's not gonna be as big of a catalyst because, like, Tyrion knows as much about, like, what... Gior
was like,
and like that he was murdered by his like other brothers, but
yeah. But then at the same time, Tyrion's such a skeptic that it's like,
yeah,
you can tell like even
it's like he's I'm like, telling you, I believe you, but I still sound pretty skeptical.
Yeah, but it's like John's like, come on. It's also one of the things too. It's like John's so obviously not crazy. I don't understand why they don't believe him because like he has so little to gain and he's putting himself at so much risk. It's like,
I mean, I honestly, after this last election, Joey, anything is possible. True. Like,
and we also like
people believe that this Earth is only like 10,000 years old.
Yeah,
like, and or like, that it's flat.
And there's like a fair number of flat earthers now. It's building momentum, not losing it, which is like,
how does insane. Like. Okay, dude, no, we're not going down that rabbit hole right now.
It's
we're running down enough like, rabbit holes
it's
here.
It's fucking Arendt. Like, it's the, like, authoritarian condition. It's like, when everything is possible and nothing is true.
Fuck
it's so bad, dude. So fucked. So fucked. Anyway, continue. Yeah, so we're in King's Landing. We have the... Cersei, like, the weird thing about the Cersei torture scene is that it's, like...
It's not that...
It's kind of justified, but, like, not really, because she's being so sadistic and horrible.
But isn't that, like, the thing that gets Benioff and Weiss hard? It's like, oh, when you see Joffrey dying, it's this moment we've been, like, building up to, you know, everyone, all this hatred, but at the same time, you, like, just realize he's just a scared little boy calling for his mother, and, you know, you don't know how to feel about it. But, and it's like, God, fuck you guys.
I do know how to feel about it. Eye for an eye.
This might be the most least infuriating after the episode I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. I didn't see that.
But also, the whole Iron Bank thing...
So dumb.
...is probably the most egregious thing they've ever tried to pull here. Yeah. I was livid. They could have used any other fucking...
Should we do that? Go into that now?
Yeah, let's talk about torture in a second. I'm not ready for torture. It's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
I need to process
it. Yeah, there's angles we can approach where we don't have to address it that directly. But let's talk about the thing that pisses us off most as like book readers
watching these. Our favorite Holmes brother, Mycroft from the Iron Bank, kindly shows up in King's Landing. Now beardless and with a cane and more Mycrofty looking as ever.
Oh, and I finally have seen Sherlock, so I know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay. But so, you know, we've known like I guess Westeros has just been in debt literally since season 1 when Sean Bean was still on the show.
Yeah, when Sean Bean was on the show and he was looking at the wedding, or the hand's tourney expenses, and he's like, we can't afford such extravagance.
But the king requests it, my lord. And a massive coin, it doesn't affect me, so whatever.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm so rich.
Yeah, and getting richer off sweet, sweet interest or something that nobody seems to pay attention to other than him, which apparently is why he's so wealthy. It's because everybody else like doesn't think money is important in Westeros.
Well, I guess that was the medieval period because like in Christianity, right, like you give the church money, but like if you lend money, you're like heathen or a Jew, right?
Fucked up.
Yeah, no, seriously. Like, yeah. It's like, oh, you're, like, not a Christian? Yeah. Oh, like, you're a money lender.
But the net-net, so they have the fucking Iron Banker come back from Braavos, which is a city of freed slaves, where that's, like, literally the main cultural thing of their city, is that they are freed slaves, and they're, like, all on board for, like, Danny's shit. And, like, they have the dude from the Iron Bank, which is, like, one of the two primary institutions in Braavos, like, roll in and, like, be persuaded ostensibly by Cersei's referencing the decline in the slave trade? Which, the only way they can redeem this is if he comes up, is if that's how Cersei gets fucked up, is that secretly this dude was like, you motherfucker, and is lying to her and is now plotting to undermine her. Because if he actually went for this, like, appeal to, like, the improving slave trade, then, like, that's such an annoying deviation from the books, because it made Braavos so cool.
It's a city of
freed slaves.
It is.
Fuck that. Bankers from Braavos are not investing in the fucking slave trade. Those dudes are divested.
And it's not like... Yes, and I do get that, like, the whole first time we met this character, it was literally him telling Stannis, like, arithmetic. Like, oh, how many bushels of hay does Dragonstone produce? How many blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
And it's like, yes, like, we don't believe in names here. We believe in numbers. Like, okay, I get that. But at the same time, like... When Arya's learning the history of Braavos, and specifically the history of the Faithless Men, like, they told the story about how it was founded by escaped slaves from the Valyrian Freehold.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, cool, I guess it kind of fits in with the whole numbers thing, but that's still, like, they could have not done that. Like, Cersei could have been like, oh, and how have your, I mean, I'm sure the, like, I can't do my Lena Headey voice, it's like, I'm sure the Iron Bank has incredible investments on Essos, and how is all the upheaval in Slaver's Bay, or, you know, the recent loss of the Volantine fleet fared for your, you know, economic ventures. Literally any other vocab word than, oh, yo, slavery, that's pretty shitty, it's gone now, right?
Yeah, exactly. So your grunk, this guy's, like, you know, great-grandfather was probably a fucking slave.
Right.
Which is like, yeah,
but,
Cersei is whack.
I feel like
this guy's whack and he's going for it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I feel like the only thing about this scene that, like, this is really setting up is next episode where, you know, they have the gold that they just murdered a family and an entire household for to get. And I think next episode, like, the whole, like... So I think in the next week on Game of Thrones, like, there's the line where it's like, I'm sick of clever plans, and that line is, like, spoken over, like, a shot of, like, them trying to transport this gold to the Iron Bank, because I think that's right now what Cersei's gonna do to pay them back. So
it's just, she's just sacked Highgarden for money, basically.
Yeah. I think that's what happened.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely the whole, like, that's what they referred to.
Because like, she delivers the line to him, like, after, like, I love how she says, like, after today. I don't know how long it takes to sack a castle, but sure. Yeah. After today, you'll be paid back in full or whatever.
Yeah.
Because Lannisters always pay their debts.
No, she was like, stay here for a fortnight, and then we'll, by the end.
Oh, yeah, it was a fortnight.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then Jaime just went straight there, and they fucking wrecked. And then, yeah, and then Olenna makes a crack saying, like, oh, we are the wealthiest house, but we're not so good at fighting.
Golden roses.
Yeah, exactly. But I think the Tyrells were supposed to be pretty okay at fighting. Just not like Mace.
Yeah.
I mean, Loras was filthy.
Yeah, and, like, well, isn't the Uncle Garland Tyrell, like, actually a pretty good fighter in the books?
I think there's some good fighting going
on. I think, though, like...
But I think a lot of the, like, good, like, fighters in the quote-unquote Tyrell army are actually...
Oh, Tarly's. Tarly men.
Yeah, which is also, the appeal to racism we found worked wonders for Randall, because he's riding up front with Jaime and also Bronn still, dude. What the fuck, Bronn?
Well,
Bronn's such a climber.
Yeah. Bronn's... Like hot pie, he's a survivor.
Yeah, he's like the first lieutenant of, like, the largest army, the second largest army in the world, behind the Dothraki that outnumber them, like, 10-1, though. Motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I love how less intimidating, though, like, remember how huge the Wildling army sounded, and then it just got wrecked.
Yeah.
But then the
Dothraki are all on horses, dude.
Yeah, and they're all, like... They have steel.
Yeah, and they're filthy at fighting, too.
Yeah, they don't, like...
Yeah, that's true. The Wildlings are, like, fighting with, like, sticks and bullshit.
And bones.
Yeah.
You know, bones are pretty sharp, but you know what's sharper and way more durable?
Metal.
Just, like, yeah, like,
all
technology.
Yeah.
Dude, it's so weird to think of, like, metal as a technology, but that's... it's literally what it is. Like, to get that in games, you have to research the technology of iron
I knew that was going to be how you somehow justified that metal was technology. You weren't going to go by just, like, you know, giving, like, a definition of what technology was. Oh, but rather, you've made the connection between, like, RTS mechanics.
Or Civilization, which is not an RTS, right?
Isn't it?
It's turn-based.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Close enough. Sorry. Anyway, though. Well, because turn-based and real-time.
Whatever. Fuck you.
But okay.
So the Bravo shit sucked. But anyway, like, so that's just a pet peeve. And also, that entire scene was that, which was frustrating. But so they're going to pay the Iron Bank back. Although, what are they supposed to get in return? Are they going to borrow more money? Like, why are they doing that? Are they just trying to get rid of a debt, like, at the end of this?
Is it to keep the Iron Bank out of the conflict, maybe?
Yeah, but doesn't that seem like kind of a fucking, like, you know, in terms of, like, rewards, it's kind of just not a punishment. It's not really a reward, right?
Well, it's because...
they took Highgarden just so that this guy would be stop being a pain in the ass?
Well, okay, hear me out on this. So, Bravo, City of Traitors, they have that giant statue that, like, the Titan's bastard. Doesn't, like, a huge Bravosi navy, like, live in that statue? Oh, yeah,
no, for sure.
Yeah, well, like, they have, like, what does Danny need right now?
Domination of the seas.
Yeah, so...
yeah.
Hey, maybe instead of... maybe they'd be like, oh, Danny, like, you'll pay us back. Mm-hmm. Or this golden-haired C-word doesn't care about her debt because she's queen. Cersei didn't play those cards right. See, that's the thing. If season 1 through 3 Cersei... now, even maybe season 1 through 5 Cersei would have not played that situation right.
Mm-hmm.
But Tywin Lannister's daughter, Cersei, who she definitely is right now, like, just dominated that scene.
Yeah, she's, like, mean Tywin now. Yeah. She's, like, still not, like, quite as... she's not, like, quite as clever, but she also doesn't have to be because she's so much more ruthless.
She's so much more ogre-y. Or just as
ruthless, I guess.
Yeah, she's truly ascended to, like, how shitty she is in the books. Like, she's significantly less humanized in the books.
Yeah, in the books, though, she's even worse because she's doing it aimlessly. She's, like, making mistakes and then torturing people, like, willy-nilly because she doesn't know what else to do.
Yeah.
And she's, like, fucking up, and it's just, like, her and Qyburn being horrible. Whereas, like, here, at least she's, like, winning.
Yeah.
So it's, like, there's, like, some benefit.
Winning intelligently
in the
as
books,
well.
In the books, like, she's getting fucked and just torturing people on the way. So this time, though, she's torturing somebody, but it was somebody who also, I think if the scene did anything, it made me realize, like, we really, like, we care so little about Ilaria and the Sand Snakes that we really, I think people sell short just how fucked up it is that they just kill that teenage girl.
Oh, yeah.
And that, like, that was so fucked up.
Yeah.
For no reason. She wasn't doing anything. She was leaving.
I mean, like,
you know what I mean?
I was, like, pretty okay with the Sand Snakes not being... okay, so hear me out here. I'll go back to the emotional impact of this scene, but more theorizing, because that's what people care about. People can emotionally react to a scene themselves, too.
Mm.
But, like, straight up, I think... I wonder if they're going to try revamp Dorne here. Like, they're pivoting. We're pivoting.
Yeah.
It's like, what does Pied Piper do now? We're pivoting.
Yeah.
I really hope that they you know, they've obviously recognized that the Sand Snakes were very unpopular since their appearance in season 5. Because I think Ilaria, when she was with Oberyn, and this has nothing to do with Oberyn, this just has to do with the way her character was written, was fine. She was incredibly likable.
Yeah.
And then there was like, oh, now she's this vindictive, terrible person, and her character has taken a complete 360.
Yeah, 180.
Oh, sorry, 180. Shit.
But
maybe they're just wiping that slate clean. They're going to let Dorne be, like, sleeper agent-y for a while. In the same way, it's like, oh, is the Hound dead? And he was gone for a whole season.
Yeah.
And then I think that they have to, in my mind...
bring back Quentin.
Shut your goddamn mouth. I don't think we're going to see any more Martells, but I think we're going to see people from House Dane.
Oh, yeah. Like, so you're going to say, like, Darkstar is, like, in charge?
I don't... or, okay, like, it doesn't have to be Darkstar, because Darkstar is kind of a shithead.
Or Edric, what's his face?
Oh, yeah.
Or Eddard. Well, his name's Eddard. Eddard Dane, right? Or Edric Dane or something.
Edric
and
Dane.
And he's named after Eddard's, Ned.
Yeah, because Ned was... okay, so quick side note here. So last season we saw the Battle of Tower of Joy. Sir Arthur Dane and Sir Gerald Hightower of Kingsguard fight
Sir Arthur
Ned.
Dane's the one who's fucking dual wielding.
Yes. So his sword, as you've heard on me say before, Milk Glass, is the sword of House Dane. And so it's, after
that's not what it's called. It's, that's how they.
Oh no, yeah, it's called Dawn. It's
called
the,
Dawn. Yeah.
It's color of milk glass.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Well, because it's,
you're misleading people.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right. Okay, the reason they say that is because it's as sharp and strong as Valyrian steel. But yeah, Valyrian steel is like dark and Damascus
pattern. And didn't they they forged it from a fucking meteorite
that
dude.
Fell there at their home called Starfall.
Dude.
But they actually have a relationship with Ned, both in the sense that after that fight, Ned wasn't a dick like Tywin and took the sword and melted it down for himself. He like was like, oh, I'm going to give it back to this family because like North honor, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, which is chill.
And secondly, so Lyanna and Rhaegar met at this tournament, right? And wasn't one of the things that happened there, Ned danced with
Ashara
Lady
Dane.
Ashara Dane, who had purple eyes.
Yeah, who's a babe, and she's also a Targi looking.
Yeah, purple.
Which also, like, would have been a really convenient, him going back to Starfall would have been a really convenient front if the baby ended up looking really Targaryen-y.
Oh, yeah,
Because then he could just say that Ashara Dane was the mom and he was still a bastard.
Yeah.
It's actually pretty handy. Like, anyway, if this kid grows up with purple eyes, eyes turn purple when he turns, like, 10 years old.
The 13th year.
Yeah, exactly. If he grows flippers as a 14-year-old, he would be just like, oh, look, I fucked Varys.
fish people. But that's my hope. I think Jorne's going, like as Dany toppled over the spear going through the sun, little figure on her map of Westeros. Mm. I don't think we're going to see them again till the end of the season. Or maybe next season.
Yeah, it seems like they have enough to do.
And by them, I don't mean Ilaria in jail. I mean, like, just anything about Dorne.
Yeah, which makes perfect sense because, honestly, there's, like, a lot of places right now that have some fucking splaining to do.
Yeah.
Looking at you, Jaden Smith / Bran.
Oh, yes.
Like, up in Winterfell. Dude, they need to... him and Sansa need to have another conversation quickly to wash out the taste of whatever the fuck interaction they had last time.
Oh,
and Bran also needs to shape the fuck up, dude. The three-eyed raven didn't talk like a fucking jackass.
The three-eyed raven, though, like a person. The three-eyed raven, though, probably wasn't like a 14-year-old boy when he just had all of time shoved into his face.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably what they're very obviously doing here, but like... Hello, Sansa.
Yeah, it's like
non-reactive.
Yeah, like Bran's like super, super high, but he's also really strong.
Yeah.
Well.
I also like. I was like, hence I have to talk to Jon.
That little line. Did he say that?
Yeah, it's like.
I didn't even
notice. Sansa, right as we cut from the cart scene in the gateway to the garden. The Godswood. Excuse me. Sansa's first line is like, "I wish Jon was here," and Bran just goes like, oh yeah, I have something I need to tell him in the Jaden Smithiest way
ever. Oh man, yeah, dude. He needs, also, yeah, what the fuck? It takes, you should honestly, I guess maybe he's just waiting because he thinks he can only, maybe he's like doing the right thing. I suppose he can see all of time, so he's probably doing the right thing. But I was like, you can't just tell, maybe you couldn't just tell Sansa that, I guess. Although, I guess if he did, that probably caused some fucking issues.
Yeah, that was my thought there.
So,
but
actually,
that,
maybe a rare use of tact on Bran's part.
Well, see, that's where I'm at a conflict here, because that's what I'd like to think, but I also just think it's just, like, writing. It's like, we can't introduce this yet.
Yeah,
let's drag it out more.
Yeah, for sure. We're definitely giving the showrunners probably more credit than they do. We're like, this is plausible because, and we're just, like, explaining the reasons behind, like, basically what amounts to, like... pacing in a TV series.
Yeah.
Which is great. Whatever. Fuck it. It's
better. But, okay, so back to the Sand Snakes and this pretty rough scene. Did this feel more justified? This felt 100 times more justified than the, like, Septa Unella scene. Even though that was super fan servicey and I enjoyed the shit out of it.
Yeah,
I was just
this was
like,
more like a.
This is like, oh, this is a very intense, powerful moment.
this was more like when this was like a slightly shittier version of like when Arya kills Meryn Trant.
Yes.
And it's like, this person sucks and like I want them to be dead and they did shitty things that are deserving of it.
But at the same time...
But it's like, ugh, God, nobody really deserves to go out like that.
Or yeah, or, I mean? Or just when she pulls the dagger out of his eye.
It's so fucked up.
But yeah, like, this but also this feels... the
same thing. It's like, yeah, dude, like, Ilaria, like, fucking murdered Cersei's daughter for no fucking reason. And so, like, other than Oberyn died in a thing that he signed up for... Because he was, like, gloating, dude. Like, she saw it. She knew, like, it's fucking his fault. She's just all mad. But anyway, like, so kill Marcel for no reason. And, like, Cersei's a fucking maniac. You, like, gotta know. Like,
yeah.
So it's, like... But then it's, just like, the scene is just so fucking torturous. And the fact that, like, Cersei also insists on it being, like, the same as what, like, the eye for an eye shit. Where it's, like, instead of, like, instead of punishing the guilty party, we're going to go ahead, like, look, Gregor, he's still alive and right there. Yeah. No justice for you. You just killed my daughter, you fucking... Bah.
Yeah.
And so she does the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like, this isn't justice.
In a real intense way. It's like, oh, it's cool. Like, you're just going to watch your daughter not just die, but, like, because, you know, she says that line last season where it's like, oh, like, her pretty face, like, caving in, thinking about Marcel in the tomb. She's like, no, you're going to suffer my worst fucking, like, nightmare
ever. But in real life and for always.
And chained in what looks like the most uncomfortable position to a wall
of all time. Yeah, with her arms up. Jesus. Some, like, yeah, you're going to get some John McCain injuries.
Just enough, like, movement to, like, get close enough that you will never be able to touch.
Yeah. God damn.
God, man, people suck. Dude, fucking suck.
Qyburn is a...
People
Qyburn
suck. Is,
Qyburn's OP in the, like, casual cruelty category.
Yeah.
He's, I mean, Qyburn's thing is he's
I don't hate Qyburn in this series like, as much like as Qyburn, I do in the book.
I also feel like Qyburn is, like, despite all of the sadistic things he does, I feel like he's, like, not sadistic. He's just, like, very problematically curious, and they just pursue that one character trait to, like, the 800th degree.
Well, that, and he's, like...
Where it's like, ooh, but I get a look at a brain that's, like, alive. Well, just, I will help.
He, despite being not a maester, he is a maester. He's just indifferent. It's like the Slughorn speech about, like, people... Winter will come, and people will always worry, and, like, fucking get over it. Just like, yeah, like, we live in this world that's this beautiful gray area where we can just study everything. Nothing is good, nothing is evil.
Yeah.
It's like that line. It's like, yeah, it's like the line from the Super Best Friends. It's like, and all of us band together to fight evil. Well, except Buddha, who doesn't really believe in good or evil.
What the fuck is the Super Best Friends?
It's South Park. Oh. It's the one episode you cannot watch on Hulu. Well, sorry, one of two, because it was before the Family Guy, like, Muhammad episode, because they actually, in this episode, Muhammad is one of the super best friends with the powers of flame, and because, and then, like, I think 4 or 5 years after it aired, like, all streaming services refused to carry it, because, you know, so much shit has happened about, like, the, depicting the image of Muhammad.
Yeah. Wow, that's a lot of, I didn't know any of that.
Yeah, I'm... God, why do I know these things?
I don't know. You obviously read some fucking weird-ass blogs.
Yeah. yet I didn't know who are the mayor candidates for the city I live in.
Yeah, well, that's because you're registered in Hawaii, because you're a fucking dumbass.
That's right. Anyway, moving on to... I guess, like, do we need to talk about, like, incest? Like, great. Incest is back, it's tight.
Cersei bangs Jaime. Jaime is conflicted for 5 seconds until he's receiving oral sex, at which point in time his ethical code is immediately just, like, chucked to the wind, and he doesn't give a shit. Although he does cast Cersei, like, a couple pregnant glances when she gets up that could be construed negatively, and he's, like, a little bit less eager to just, like, let people know that it's going on, whereas Cersei at this point doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Perfect. Which, like, why would she?
Perfect. Everybody all the knows analysis already that anyway. That scene needed.
Yeah, we're done there. Fuck that shit.
So, I guess the climactic build-up at this point, I guess, like, do we need to talk about, like, okay, John's gonna mine some dragon glass on Dragonstone.
Yeah, I hate the fact that, like, the only way that they could get Dany to agree to anything was by Tyrion, like, telling her that it doesn't, like, take her anything.
It's like you're giving nothing gain something.
You're giving nothing to gain something. I was like, well, that's a fucking annoying, shitty, transactional relationship to have with people, Dany.
What are you gonna do?
Fuck up, dude. This could be a good... This guy's your cousin, man.
Alright, so Tyrion's plan to take Casterly Rock. The Unsullied have arrived. Well, arrived in their boats.
Mm-hmm.
Like, staged a real siege, but then actually just, you know, basically did a siege of Yunkai, just busted open the gate.
Yeah.
And of course we got to get a great redelivery of the line, like, give me 10 good men and I'll impregnate the bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Classic classic fucking brawn.
Classic low folk humor.
Yeah. Truly. The best fucking sellsword of all time. That scene was cool because it was like, they did all that and they like let you get kind of excited, but then like they get you, then you get like the shot of like Grey Worm's face being like, what's going on? And then of course, classic, every time anybody has like a concerned look on their face and they look out on the horizon, Euron's music.
Oh yeah.
Every single time. Yeah. Yeah. Every single time. It's just straight up those like, yeah, those three fucking notes and then the sail.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh shit.
And the like, the like slight background sound of like pitch being hurled through the air via catapult at other boats.
Oh yeah, dude. Yeah, I like how that's like the thing too, is Euron's like, all of Euron's boats are fire, pitch, are, yeah, like throw fire. It's like, sure.
I also think that could be part of the Iron Fleet versus just like the raiders. It's like raiders are just like, no, our boat is fast and it's supposed to go up rivers and go on the beach very quickly. Everyone gets out and everyone gets back in. Whereas his ship is huge. It's like,
yeah,
just put a catapult right there.
Yeah, but hypothetically, Yara's fleet was like ships from the Iron Fleet too. So those were galleons and shit. You know?
Oh well, they just got fucked.
They still just got fucked because Euron's ship's brand new.
Yeah,
brand new, dude.
One dude, he's the greatest captain on the 14 seas.
He's got the fucking iPhone 8 or whatever.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so then you get, yeah, Euron's collecting a lot of W's. Tyrion's collecting a lot of losses. What do you think is going to happen to her in the esteem of her employer?
So the thing is, I think that's why the whole Diana Rigg foreshadowing in episode one, it's like, you know how I've survived this long, girl? I've ignored clever men.
Yes.
Your hand is a clever man.
Yeah, I ignore your hand.
So I feel like this next episode is probably like Tyrion's gonna like Anna break down the situation with Varys for her very clearly and offer his input on how to deal with it. Dany's gonna be like, great, thank you for telling me what's up. Fuck you, we're not doing that right now. And she's gonna send like a dragon or some shit out. Yeah. We're either gonna see a dragon murder people next episode, or we're gonna see Dothraki just ride down, like just real quickly, just like see some charging and then probably smash cut to like them like dragging some corpses and gold around.
Yeah, and I mean, you're also, I think, like, taking the L at Highgarden is probably going to be the move that pushes her to understand that her and Jon require an alliance.
Yeah.
She's probably going to be like, well, like, we had these two sweet southern armies, and now we have these zero sweet southern armies, and we have this north guy right here.
But the thing, though, is, like, the north, this is why I hate the episode The Battle of the Bastards so much, because it gives me zero confidence that anyone lives there anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone who can fight lives there. It's like, hey, we're actually training, like, children of both genders to fight zombies right now. We don't, like, it's also really cold and snowy up here. There's, how are we going to get an army all the way to King's Landing?
No, for sure.
Like,
but at the same time, like,
but maybe it's like, hey, like, John, turns out you know some shit. Like, let's talk about it.
Yeah, they were also able to get an army down via boat from White Harbor.
Oh, that's right.
So they could try to ferry the army from Winterfell, because we know how well that's been working.
Well, and then, of course, I'd love it, because the Manderleys would be heavily featured in that.
Oh, yes, of course. always. Give the people what they want. It's the Manderleys, always.
But,
the fat, like, family.
Yes, with the traitors, the only Christians in the north, basically.
Yeah, exactly. But they're also, like, they also are the chillest, though. They don't betray.
No.
They're good times.
They're loyal.
They're loyal to the Starks, despite the fact that people may not believe them.
Yeah. .. Write your fucking next book, George R.R. Martin, please.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so I guess let's break this down. So this is a major win before we move into the awesome, like, Jaime, Diana Rigg scene.
Yeah.
So, the Unsullied are now basically marooned at Casterly Rock, so...
And under siege, basically.
So, we're not going to go over geography again, because we literally did this geography last episode. Like, where's Casterly Rock? Where's Dragonstone? So, And basically, to get back to Dragonstone, they'd have to cross the Riverlands, which is just gross. It's pretty shitty right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the house the Hound and the Brotherhood stayed in was, like, where people used to live. And they killed themselves and just have, like, withered away in there.
Yeah.
That's the ground they would have to cross to get back to Dragonstone. And I guess there's no food there, because Jaime said they emptied the larders. So, do you think the Unsullied are just out of the equation for a while? Do you think, like,
I mean,
in a few episodes we're going to see, like, Dragon, probably all of the Unsullied die?
Dragon Liberation Front, maybe.
Yeah, I guess so. That still doesn't solve... I feel like Dany needs to solve her Navy problem. I feel like that's going to come up.
Well,
not obviously next
last
episode.
Time she used her dragons, she didn't torch the whole Navy she had. She got the whole Navy.
This is true, but that whole Navy was a slave army and not the Iron Fleet.
That's true.
So, like...
And Euron's people are probably not going to run away as nearly as quickly.
Maybe... Okay, not to toot my own horn here. Maybe I am onto something here about this whole, like, next episode dealing with the Iron Bank shit. Because, like, that to me is, like, the most sensible source of a Navy. Because the other one would be Volantis, where Melisandre's going. But that Navy is the one she just... took already, because that was the one that invaded Slaver's Bay.
Yeah.
So,
unless maybe there's just another one. I mean, Euron built a new one pretty quick.
That's true. Well, because it sounds like Jaime's pretty comfortable. Like, it's not like, I don't think next episode Casterly Rock is going to be under siege with Unsullied inside, because the Lannister army is all the way down at Highgarden.
Oh yeah, I just think that,
and then they're probably
be cut
going
off
back to King's Landing, right?
unless Euron just leaves. I don't know, like, if Euron's gonna stay and, like,
yeah, because if Euron stays, Dany would totally just send her dragons, right? Because wasn't
yeah.
that whole discussion in the episode was like, oh my queen, we don't know where the Iron Fleet is, and you shouldn't just fly around over the ocean on your dragon because that's actually kind of sketchy and dangerous.
Yeah, which also wrong, dude. You gotta fucking do this. You gotta take risks.
No, man. In the Dance of Dragons, the event, didn't one of the sons, like, try and fly across the sea, the narrow sea, for help, and, like, he got surrounded by ships, and they, like, shot his dragon's wings up, and he, like, drowned.
No, I thought that he got attacked. He drowned, but it was another dragon intercepted him on his way.
Oh, was it that? Oh, Meraxes versus...
It was, like, one of the little fast ones got fucked.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway... Dragons aren't immortal, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, for sure. But she hasn't even used them at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be nice to at least send, like, the two, like, little ones. Although, I suppose you can't be like, yeah, go find Euron Greyjoy.
If only she could warg into dragons.
Or Bran can, wow.
Oh, don't.
Or maybe she starts holding fucking tryouts. Maybe, like, episodes 4 and 5 are dragon riding tryouts. They do, like, a montage of, like, everybody on Kingdom. Everyone on Dragon. Yeah.
Hurrah!
Everybody on Dragonstone, like, trying to, like, learn. They're, like,
yeah.
Just trying to, like, they're hopping on to, like, the dragons. They're getting shaken off, like, the fucking, like, horses in Avatar.
Yeah.
You know?
Zahelu, Jake.
Yeah.
Zahelu.
Exactly. That would be so great. It was, like, an episode of, like, how to train your Jon Snow to, like, ride a dragon.
All right, well, that's prediction. That's our major weight here. We're throwing our weight money behind that prediction.
Yeah. My major prediction is Dany and John come to some sort of alliance based on desperation, because Dany gets off her fucking high horse.
Okay.
I think that's going to happen. Next episode, maybe the episode after.
Right. Yeah. I think
that's inevitable.
I think next episode is going to be incredibly reactionary to everything we just saw, and, like, all the other things, like, we can't probably think about are going to be, like, oh, Arya has a little plot line here.
Yeah, they'll probably do some Hound Barrack shit again, because they were completely out of it.
For 2 episodes now.
Yeah. Are those... I wonder if...
I bet maybe that's where they intersect.
Those guys are going to meet a... You know who those guys are going to end up with? Is they're going to end up with fucking Tormund.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then they're going to be at Eastwatch. And then Jon's going to be fucking around with Dany and Dragonstone. And then they're going to be at Eastwatch. And they're going to be the ones to basically, like, raise the alarm. Like, holy shit, guys.
Oh my god, they're giants.
It's happening now.
It's coming.
Yeah.
Winter.
Yeah, dude. Car.
Car.
Okay.
So, the end of an era. Highgarden is taken by... what looks like the Lannister army supported by the Tarleys. I think
also they got genocided. I don't think there's any of those guys left.
No. Or at least, like, they surrendered and were like, yo, Randall, we got your back. We don't want to die. Please don't kill us.
But, like, all the, like, the family's gone though.
Oh yeah, no more. Olenna family. Tyrell was the last Tyrell. Yeah. Or the Reigns
Zero, dude. Or Hulls. Yeah, exactly. Reigns of Castamere. They're gonna play it every time a house is wiped out.
Well, yeah. Well, that's why I enjoy that Jamie's walkthrough is underscored by that, because I do, again, really like that they're like, no, Jamie is now the Reigns of Castamere is his theme, and Cersei is murder, children, violins, explosion, cellos.
The light of the seven.
Yeah.
Is what that song's called.
No, dude, it's murder, children, explosion, cello, violin, string party.
Yeah, it's fucked. Oh, dude, yeah. Trust me, dude. I know that theme. I know that theme like the back of my fucking hand. But anyway, we gotta close out, so we gotta get to the
okay.
We gotta get to Olenna Jamie. That seems crazy.
Probably the best scene in the episode, in terms of just like two characters interacting and acting like their hardest.
Oh yeah, they're trying. Yeah, they're going for it.
But as Benioff and Weiss pointed out after the episode, this is the first time we see Jamie like win on like screen, like because has he won a battle?
This is also
I guess he won that siege, but that's very different. Like,
no, that was a pretty big win for him. I thought he did a pretty damn good job. He got him to fucking surrender.
Yeah, I guess
like
so.
Boom, he didn't even have to do shit.
It wasn't Jamie win, it was Jamie kill one of his enemies. That was the word they used, in which case, you know, yeah, it's like, yeah. Oh, here's some poison.
Yeah, which little. Also, he starts that scene off by being like, Cersei really wanted to torture you, and I convinced her to, like, not do that.
I'm an okay guy.
And then she's like, I murdered your son.
Yeah.
If he tells Cersei that, like, what do you think will be her opinion on Tyrion?
See, I don't. Really, it's not gonna. That's not gonna change. I think what it is, it's gonna change his opinion on Tyrion.
Yeah. Do you think she'll believe? Well, he already knew that.
No,
Tyrion,
he didn't.
Tyrion didn't kill Joffrey. He knows that. That's why he let him go. Straight up.
All right.
Well, unless after he kills Tywin, he's like, oh, maybe he did kill Joffrey, which I don't.
I thought that was the case, because like Bronn was asking him on their way down to Dorne, like, oh, if you see your brother again, blah blah blah. He's like, James, like, oh, if I see my brother again, I'm gonna kill him.
But I thought that was just because he killed his dad.
Okay. Yeah, but everyone hated Tywin.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing, too. It was like
you hate your
dad. But I don't think Jaime hated him that much. Okay. I think, like, Cersei hated him with a murderous passion. I think Jaime hated Tywin. Like, it's like, dad's so strict.
Oh, okay. Because
Jaime's, like, normaler. He's more normal. He's not, like, crazy like the rest of these fuckers. Yeah. Like, that's the thing. It's like, he acts more. He reacts to things in a way that's, like, way more relatable, usually.
Okay.
So, like, I feel like murdering. Yeah, so I guess that does make sense, because I feel like, you know, Jamie, like, I feel like Cersei probably doesn't even give a shit that Tywin died, because, like, that's, like, one step removed in her, like, little power ascent.
Mm.
And she had just, like, told him off right beforehand.
Well, yeah, and Tywin was kind of being a huge asshole
to her.
Oh, you'll get married and have another kid, which a fucking sister.
Whereas Jamie just hates Tywin in a normal way, which is also, like, hashtag white male privilege, because the only thing that Tywin wanted Jaime to do was become like lord of the castle in the west.
This is
true.
And
he's like, oh, I don't want to. Whereas Cersei, they're like, oh, marry the fucking like gay dude who you hate, who's like the brother of the wife who's like stealing your son from you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like way worse. And like, you have to just marry like Robert, which also sucked, and like all this other horrible shit. Whereas Jamie's just like, oh, I wish you were Lord of Castle Rock, Dad.
Just a turn, dude. I just want to like be a knight and like,
yeah, it's like, God.
I want people to like me.
Yeah, exactly. And he lets you do it, and yeah, then just like urges you to stop. Yeah, so like, yeah, that's actually pretty fucking, it's like, it's okay example. Yeah, so I feel like maybe that's why she just like actually killing Tywin was a big deal for him.
Okay.
And whereas Tyrion, like, Tywin was so fucking cruel to him that
other than
justified.
That, then to me that scene is just like a showcase of like, you know,
good
fun
acting.
Storytelling, acting, and then just like, oh, remember that thread? Because there are like a billion of them that the show just leaves hanging across seasons. Like, oh, we finally finished it. We finished the stitch. It's done. Yeah. We know who killed Joffrey.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we knew, but like everyone knows who killed Joffrey.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of like the, it's classic Thrones, like the interminable like dramatic irony where it's just like, oh my God, like I know this thing that you don't know and you never fucking figure it out.
Yeah.
It takes you so fucking long to figure it out. It's just like they drag it on for so fucking long. Because like everybody's like, oh yeah, like we know that. It's like, so it's like, oh, it's the big reveal is this week, but it's like not a reveal to you. You're only excited because other because you're so invested in the other characters.
You see how they react.
You want them to see it, which I suppose is the I guess it's an embodiment of a good story. Wow,
it is. I mean, it's like when it's like the biggest thread that's just still getting longer and more jagged yet not finished is the White Walkers. Like, that happened. That's the first thing we see in this series, White Walkers.
Yeah,
and they constantly just like, oh, up there it is again. There it is again.
Yeah, and then everybody...
More people find out, there it is again.
Yeah,
you know?
Like two people know. And even still at this point in time,
nobody
knows. Also, John doesn't take enough people with him who were there. John should have brought, like, at least one or two other Night's Watch people with him on this tour to just be like, all right.
I wonder... That
like,
means,
I'm going to grab Ed and just be like, okay, so also this other just normal dude also saw the same thing. And this other guy... Same shit. You know what I mean? There's so many people who saw it. And he goes there and he's the only one who did. Like, Davos has never seen a white, has he?
No.
Yeah.
I what this must be is literally just pacing of time.
Yeah, probably.
This fictional universe.
For
it's
sure.
Like,
they can't all be
it's,
on board.
It's kind of like how when my friend and I broke down the battle at the end of Last Samurai and how they should have won, because if they dug trenches, they could have shot arrows. Like, it's like, yeah, they could have done that, but then would it have been the same goddamn movie? No.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. So any before we close up with some predictions, anything you want to cover?
Nah, I'm good.
All right.
Got a good like.
I think next episode's gonna be a lot of Arya. Not a lot of Arya. I think there's gonna be Arya again.
Oh yeah.
I think we're gonna.
Do you think Arya Sansa?
No. I think Arya maybe the Hound.
Do you think? Oh, maybe. Interesting. No Arya Bran.
No Arya Bran yet. I think Arya Bran is gonna happen end of the season.
All right. How do you?
I think next episode might have a lot of Sansa Brand.
How do you think?
Brand, not Brand.
How do you think that? How do you think Bran's gonna go about telling Jon?
Right. Because do you think Jon's gonna get back north this season?
Yeah.
He is. Well, he's gonna tell him when he gets there.
Jon's gonna be beyond the wall this season.
Oh, that's right.
It was in the fucking preview.
That's right.
It's in the trailer.
Bran is literally just gonna Jaden Smith on him and be like, "Jon, your real parents are Rhaegar Targaryen and our Aunt Lyanna. You're not our brother, Jaden Smith.
You're our cousin. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
I needed to tell you that.
Yeah.
Why? I'm the three-eyed raven.
Are all feet just shoes when you think about it? Yeah. Anyway.
Nature's shoes. Okay. And I think there's going to be some sweet dragon. I think almost every episode there's going to be some form of fighting because budget's really huge right now. And I think there's going to be like a little skirmish over the Tyrell gold next episode. And this isn't based on just like me thinking I'm awesome and can predict the future. This is like, oh, I'm pretty sure in the next week on Game of Thrones, that's what they were hinting at. But like they were talking about, there's a clip to Mycroft saying like, once the gold is delivered in full, the Iron Bank will be yours. And then it's like Dany saying like, I'm sick of clever plans. We're doing it my way, which is usually like burn that shit to the ground.
Yeah, exactly. Danny's definitely going to. I'm sure whatever planning meeting happens in the next episode, I'm sure there's going to be a everyone talk about what we should do because we're losing meeting.
Yes.
Scene.
Maybe it's the first scene. You
yeah,
don't
it probably will be. And Danny's definitely going to choose burning, and because that's like her like fucking go, that's her vintage, like that's her MacGruber like throat rip. That's her like go to move. You know.
Yeah. I guess last question from me would be, where do you think they're going with this Tarly plot line that Rando and Dickon are now running Highgarden?
Do
you think they're gonna just,
when they lose, Sam's gonna be Lord of Hornhill? That's what's gonna happen.
Okay.
That's the long game. I don't know what they're gonna do in the meantime.
Well, I thought there might be like a whole like, oh, whatever became of that, and then like bam, episode 9, like some good shit's going for Dany, and then Randall Tarly shows up.
Randall Tarly's fate is to be killed by a Dothraki. That is his fate.
Let's go. Let's high five on that.
Yeah, dude.
See, that's an audible hand gesture.
Yeah. Yeah, he's that, like, Randall's gonna get fucking, like, if there's any if Benioff and Weiss believe in justice for, like, fans, then Randall Tarly will be killed by Dothraki for being a racist fucking prick.
Or somehow Gilly will kill him.
Yeah, or Gilly will kill him somehow, but I think that would be, yeah.
That would be pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, Gilly is one of the Dragon Riders in Burns and Blythe.
Yeah, the real Dragon Riders are Gilly, Mira Reed, and Dany.
That'd be tight.
And Mira Reed is also John is John's twin sister.
Chill.
Oh fuck.
Is that a thing that people think?
There is a thread that talk about how
I think that's like dumb, but
no, it's how in the book, because you know Mr. George R.R. loves his, you know, describing facial features and hair color. It's described that Jojen looked exactly like, has the sandy, bushy hair of a Reed and his father, Helen, whereas Mira has the dark, thicker mane of a Stark.
My fucking God.
And if you think about
it. Do we know who Helen Reed's wifey is?
No. I don't think so.
I don't know either.
I don't know either. But it's more that, like, the only, like, you know, two kids came out of the tower and went to two parts of the north kind of situation. Oh, yeah. But that's also, honestly, as likely as Fairies being a mermaid. That's literally the same level of probability.
And that's also just, like, Star Wars, so fuck that.
Oh, yeah, shit!
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be annoying. Anyway.
Okay, on that note, thank God Star Wars is coming back this winter, by the way. But, hey guys, as always, you know, we love Game of Thrones, we love you. It's been another episode of Talk Sex.
Thank you all.
Have a good night.